Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Baby and Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! Shoot, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And the Penguins get it back.
You should follow it up, Dan, and get in on the forecheck and at least take the body. Did I see Mikael Granlund on the ice? I do.
You're kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Mikael Granlund is back on the ice.
I cannot believe this.
This guy's Superman. It's fed all the way down by Pittsburgh, icing the call. How about this for a morale booster?
Oh, my goodness. Mikael Granlund is on the ice, folks. I thought this guy's season was over, and he is on the ice.
I'm speechless. I can't believe it.
No, it's just a hockey play, and my just got stuck, and, you know, nothing to make.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks played well for two periods last night and then ran out of gas, getting beat in Pittsburgh by a final of 6-3. I think the biggest and most important thing out of last night is that Mikael Granlund did not end up with a massive season ending or even worse injury when the way that he went up against the boards and his leg kind of got caught up and twisted, the way he was on the ground slamming his fist into the ice and couldn't put any weight on it as he left the rink, that was very, very concerning. And I thought that there was a very good chance that he was, had suffered a torn ACL or did some sort of a broken bone, something to that effect. I was thinking, ugh, that's not going to be good for the offseason. And then he's back out there on the ice. I mean, my goodness. You know, Mikael Granlund, he's a former Penguin. He wants to play well there. He wants to show what he's capable of. I appreciate his fight and his drive and his desire. And I am very, very thankful that the injury that he sustained was not worse, because I think it had the potential to be. And I think that, that's just kind of one of those ones where you give praise to the hockey gods for nothing really coming out of that. Now, he might be sore today and he might have an issue maybe playing on Saturday if there's some sort of a bone bruise situation going on. But I think if you can come back out and skate, probably not going to be a season-ending injury or a really impactful injury. If you slam your kneecap into something hard enough, it's going to be very painful and you can't put any weight on it. Trust me, I know from experience. But it didn't look like it was anything that was major at that point. Again, he comes back out, he skates on it. He's, able to, be an impactful player as the game goes on, add another point at that point. And he would add another one if that Barabanov goal hadn't been called for a high tip. But that was my biggest takeaway from last night. Another one, I think that Magnus Crona probably learned a lot about game management. I think in the third period, I think that fourth goal, okay, that's one that you can give up. The fifth one, I don't know if his concentration waned a little bit or if he just didn't see it or wasn't comfortable enough, but I think that he has the capability of improving upon last night's performance. On the earlier goals, I didn't think he was the issue, but I think there's something to be said about him maybe wanting a few back and wanting to give himself a greater chance to have a better performance. I think, it's learning experience time for Magnus Crona. And we don't know if Devin Cooley is going to go on Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday. We do know that David Quinn said he would like to get him into a game this road trip. These are going to be learning experiences for players involved. The fact that the Sharks were able to take a 2-1 lead after being down 1-0 early, which, by the way, the first 5 minutes of the game, and then the Sharks go on the power play where they looked like they were just absolutely buzzing out there and had the Penguins pinned in their own end. And then they got the power play. I mean, the fans were booing the fact that they couldn't get out of their own end. And the Sharks didn't score in that opening frame. I mean, that was the most remarkable aspect about it. Not in the opening frame as in the first, but I mean, those opening few minutes, it was unbelievable the way they were buzzing around. I just couldn't believe they were not scoring goals. And that's just apparently the way it goes for the Sharks this year. Fabian Zetterlund did eventually break through with another goal for him. It's his 17th of the year. I think that considering where he is in his career and where he is in terms of the talent he's surrounded by on San Jose right now, Fabian Zetterlund is showing that he has a big career ahead of him. I think that he could be a 30, maybe 40 goal scorer in his career. I think that is something that is very, very nice to watch as a development. And I think that as the Sharks get better as a team and continue to bring in more talent, that'll be something that's very exciting to see. Mark Edward Vlasic, he had another nice performance. I thought overall getting his sixth goal, and now there's only a handful of teams in the NHL that he has not scored against. But after going up 2-1 the second period, they just didn't find themselves. You know, Pittsburgh came flying back. And listen, Pittsburgh is, still trying to keep their hopes alive for the playoffs. If we look at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay and the Islanders hold the top two in the wild card rankings. And so 72 points is the final one. And right now, Pittsburgh is at 67. So they're still very well within striking distance. There are going to be changes in that standing before the season comes to an end. I would imagine whether or not Pittsburgh can surge and find their way back up into that final wildcard spot, that's up to them. But Pittsburgh is in a very different situation than the Sharks, who have already been eliminated. One thing to take into note of how, the Sharks are as a team right now compared to the rest of the league. Pittsburgh had not been scoring very many goals lately, and they have a breakout game against the Sharks. I mean, that's just where the Sharks are right now. Teams are getting healthy against them, so to speak. Teams are getting right against them. And that's just an unfortunate place for the Sharks to be, obviously. But, I think that that's just how it goes. Things are cyclical in the NHL. I mean, like we always talk about the Red Wings, 25 years straight making the postseason, and they haven't been back for a while. And right now they're on the outside looking in for the wild card, even though they are tied with the Islanders in points. We look at how long it took LA to get back. We look at, the Ducks is another example of this. It takes time to get back, but, it's something that I pay attention to when a team like the Pens, who have not been scoring a lot as of late, and then they break out against the Sharks. That's indicative of the disparity in talent level. Obviously there's some, all-time Hall of Fame players on that Pittsburgh team, but I mean, it's indicative of where they are, a team that is fading versus where the Sharks are right now. And I think that that's just, it's got to be part of the overall narrative. It's got to be part of the takeaway. So that's, that's one thing that I paid attention to. Kleem Kostin getting a goal for San Jose. I like to see that. He's been getting points in his games with the Sharks so far. That's something that I'm encouraged by. I also like that Addison Thrun getting points as well, making impactful plays out there on the ice. I think that those are important things to see. I mean, you look at last night's game, Vlasic, team leader, legend with the franchise, two-point game. Mikael Granlund in the face of grave injury and in his first year with San Jose, that's a two-point game for him. Kleem Kostin, he's got a goal and an assist, two-point game for him. Fabian Zetterlund comes through with a goal. And then, like I said, points for Addison and Thrun as well. Those are things you want to see, right? Like, those are players that are part of the future, you would hope, that are part of what the Sharks are trying to build. And still, considering how many times the Sharks have not scored anything on the road, the fact they were able to get three out of this game, I am relatively encouraged by that, because I think it shows that there is no quit. And I think it shows that this team still has a lot of fight left in them as they continue forward on this road trip. They're two down, two losses, and then they're going to be on Saturday at Columbus, then Sunday at Chicago, Tuesday at Nashville, and then they'll be back home on Thursday night playing host to the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, let's get into the highlights from last night's game. Despite the Sharks being the better team early on in this one, it was the Pens who struck first.
A word from William Eklund to defenseman Henry Thrun. Looks like he told him he was going to poke it forward. Thrun tried to clear it back, but it goes to the point. They score! Erik Karlsson on the point as the Sharks tried to clear, were not able to do that. And it goes deflected, tipped up over the top of the stick side of Magnus Crona. But the shot came from EK65 on the point. We'll see who gets credit for it, but it's 1-0 Penguins.
So yeah, the Penguins take the lead there 1-0, but Fabian Zetterlund gets the Sharks right back into this one with his 17th of the year. And again, how can you not be excited about this guy's future?
Here's Barabanov moving across the line against Carlson. Throws a backhand pass back to the point, held in by Thrun. Moves down, throws in front, one-time shot, save, rebound, score! Fabian Zetterlund gets the rebound in front. What a job by Thrun to have that vision to throw it over to the left side of the Penguins' goal. And the chance by Granlund was stopped, but there was Zetterlund to get the rebound right on net. Addison actually getting that first chance off the Thrun pass. He was in deep. And a tremendous finish by Fabian Zetterlund to tie it up 1-1.
Not to be outdone by a newbie, it was Mark-Edward Vlasic going behind the goal line and getting a tip off the goalie, and then I think one of the Pens in front also knocked it as well. But yeah, man, like Mark-Edward Vlasic just saying, yeah, let's try this.
Granlund stick handles with it. He cuts back behind the Pittsburgh net, throws it out. Here's Kostin, the drive, blocked by Achari. Kept in by Vlasic, who jumps in deep. Minute remaining. Vlasic centers and scores! Mark-Edward Vlasic from the left wing corner deflected that off the defense. It gets by Jerry, and with 58.6 seconds left in the first period, the Sharks lead 2-1.
Yeah, you don't usually think that that's going to be where you're going to score a goal from, but it goes back to that idea of you have to ask questions of the opposition's defense and netminder and just throw something into chaos and see what happens. Sometimes that can be your best plan of attack. And it seemed to be that that worked for Mark-Edward Vlasic last night. So, yeah, I'd like to try it again. And I always go back, there was one, with Kevin LeBanc, I think it was in the 56-game shortened season, maybe against Arizona. I can't remember exactly who the team was, but he was, behind the boards, had the puck, didn't really see anything he wanted to go against, and then just threw it against the goalie's back, and it went in. And it was like, why not? Just try. Do anything. Catch a deflection. Some people might think it's a little a cheap way to score, but hey, you either put the puck in the net or you don't. Get it off the goalie, get it off a defender, catch chaos, make something happen. Sharks lead 2-1. But in the second period, the Pens would come storming back.
Bailey's stick comes down. Achari wins the faceoff. And now it's Ludvig, a shot from the point wide.
Well, Bailey breaks the stick. Now we got another situation where the guy doesn't have a stick out there.
Unbelievable. Another stickless situation for a forward. It's in front. They score. From behind the net, Emil Bemström put it to a spot. And Jeff Carter swooping in had Krona dead to rights on the left side of the goal, right side of Krona. And Jeff Carter, who scored a lot of big goals against Sharks hockey, just tied the game for the Penguins 2-2.
At that point, you could feel momentum shifting back in favor of the Pittsburgh Penguins, although the Sharks did settle things down for a bit after that. But about halfway through the period, the Pens would add on another, taking a 3-2 lead. This time, it was Evgeny Malkin.
Carpenter wins a battle in the middle, gets it over to Bailey, gloved it to himself, tried to stick handle on the defense, but as Pettersson fell down, the puck skipped free. Headman feed for Pittsburgh. O'Connor to Malkin, back to O'Connor, across the line, shoot, save made, rebound, score! Evgeny Malkin got the rebound and from a severe angle underneath the goal line, put the puck off of Krona, and it ricocheted off his right leg and went into the net. The Penguins take the 3-2 lead, and Evgeny Malkin is going to get credit for that goal. For Malkin, that is his 19th of the season.
And this is when everybody thought that, we were not going to see any more Mikhail Granlund throughout the game. Sharks are down 3-2. And he first comes back and puts a puck in a great spot for Alexander Barabanov, but it was a high tip on the goal, so it was disallowed. And then Klim Kostin, assisted from Granlund and Mark-Edward Vlasic, levels it at 3 for the Sharks late in that second period, just over a minute left to play in the middle frame.
Now Thrun, left side, throws in deep behind the goal line. There's Kostin to take for San Jose. He corrals the puck, sends to the middle, went through everybody. Vlasic holds in, shoots one toward the net, save made. Granlund in front, they score! Klim Kostin gets the pass in front of the net, and what a job! The Sharks have tied the game 3-3 with Kostin's first goal in a San Jose uniform, and that play is all Mikhail Granlund.
Yeah, that was an inspiring scene, I think, for everybody to watch him come back out onto the ice and watch him have an impact and help the Sharks score a goal to tie it at 3 and give themselves a chance heading into the third period. But the third period would belong to Pittsburgh.
Here comes a shot. They score! That's Ludvig, the man who committed the interference just seconds before, getting his shot on the point and slipping it through Krona at 2:38 in the third period. The hockey gods not on the Sharks' side on that one, as Ludvig's goal makes it 4-3 Pittsburgh.
And then 2 minutes later.
Here comes the Pens attack back into the Sharks' zone. Ricard Raquel over to Malkin. Swings a nice pass back to Ludvig. Now to Joseph. He shoots. Score! So John Ludvig this time will get an assist. P.O. Joseph shoots the puck. It goes off the post and in. And the Penguins have a 5-3 lead.
After that, the Penguins would add an empty netter, but the game was finished, obviously. The Sharks, I thought they continued to battle hard throughout the game. It was not a terrible performance in any way, shape, or form. Pittsburgh was just not giving them enough to get themselves back into it. Up 5-3, adding on that empty netter, of course, made it completely out of reach, and you know there was not going to be a miracle with that much time left in the game. But while I don't love losses, I think we can look at the game against Philadelphia and against Pittsburgh of, well, the Sharks did not play terribly, not good enough. They're giving themselves a fighting chance. They're battling and they're playing with pride, and I think they're still trying to set that foundation for the future. So yeah, a 6-3 loss, maybe not indicative of how the game actually was played from start to finish. The Pens, the better team, no doubt about it. It felt closer on the ice than the scoreline, but that's just the way that it goes sometimes. All right, on the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction, and we are going to talk with Devin Cooley. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
3-2 to score. Pittsburgh leading. Go-ahead goal by Malkin, his 19th from O'Connor. Here come the Pens into the zone. Led there by Bunting. Throws it behind the net, intended for Crosby. That's corralled by Granlund, and defensively, he gets bodied up hard by Brian Rust, but he poked the puck behind the goal line. Granlund shaken up on the play after that Rust check. Granlund really upset right now as the Sharks move in and get the shot away from Barabanov. Granlund is still falling down. He's grabbing his knee, and this is not good as Ray Tufts is coming off the ice. Granlund has been the Sharks' inspirational leader all season, and tonight, against the Penguins, and right now he is crumpled in pain to the right side of the Sharks' goal.
Yeah, that was the scene as it went down yesterday, but Mikhail Granlund came back, helped the Sharks score a goal, and seemed, dare I say it, fine after the game.
Yeah, I mean, those are always scary situations. I mean, you guys all saw it, what happened, so, you know, you really don't want to get into it too much, but, you know, you kind of feel like, oh, boy. But held it, and you know I was able to play the rest of the game.
Yeah, just nonchalant, like, you know, it is what it is. And again, Mikhail Granlund, he's been so good for the Sharks all year long. He's earned, you know, his place in the dressing room for a reason. The guys absolutely adore him. It seems, you know, he's such just a cool, calm, composed character. You appreciate everything he brings out there to the ice. You know, just has always been really, really good with me and getting interviews, and always seems to be just a very chill character, which I appreciate as well. But yeah, just great to see him not being in any significant danger. Now, he could be very sore today. We'll have to see what's going on in his status for Saturday, even though that was not really brought up. But yeah, just great to see him not have to deal with a major injury. Let's hear from David Quinn getting his thoughts on what he saw out there on the ice in this game.
You know, disappointing because, you know, I thought in the first 10 minutes of the second they really took it to us. You know, I thought they really fed off that 4-on-4 where we lost a stick and they had all sorts of zone time, and I thought they kind of gained momentum off of it. I thought we settled down a little bit towards the end of the second. And it's just, you know, they took, you know, three wristers that found a way in the net. One off a stick, you know, they tipped one of them, one off a skate, and the other one went right in. So, you know, I thought we were a little bit slow reacting defensively tonight. But I just loved our compete. I thought we really battled hard, and you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, we weren't able to defend a little bit better around our net in those instances in the third period. But, you know, maybe it was fatigue. You know, those guys you touched on, you got 5D and you're playing a ton of minutes. So it's a tough ask.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Sharks did keep fighting, but yeah, dealing with the issues at D-man, losing Mikael Granlund for a bit, going up against a team like the Penguins in a desperate situation, it is a tough ask. I did speak with a new member of the San Jose Sharks, Devin Cooley, the other day. Wanted to give you some of that interview, which I will give you more of on Saturday afternoon on the buildup. Give me a little bit of the background on that process last week when you find out you're being traded. That's got to be kind of a whirlwind of emotions and reactions.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I was kind of glued to my phone in my apartment in Rochester just being, because I knew that there was a possibility I was going to get traded. I didn't know, like, to where, really. But I knew there were some teams interested. So I'm glued to my phone. The deadline was at 3 o'clock, like Rochester time, and it's like 3 o'clock, 3:10. And I go to my girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm getting traded. So I went and lay down, take a nap because I was getting ready to go to the game. And then like 20 minutes later, I get a call from Buffalo's GM. It's like, hey, like, traded you to San Jose, like, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for everything. And then I was like I had on speakerphone, I look at my girlfriend, I was like, holy. So I just immediately like called my parents. And I was like, you guys will never believe where I got traded to. And I was like, San Jose. And then they started freaking out. My mom started crying. It's just like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And then like within an hour, I talked to, you know, San Jose's management and got a plan. I had to fly out of Buffalo at like 7 o'clock. And at that point, it was like 4:30 and it's an hour drive. So I had to run to the rink, grab my gear, pack up all my stuff. Got like 30 minutes to pack, drive an hour to Buffalo, barely made my flight. And then had to fly to L.A., landed at like 12:30, got to my hotel room at like 1:30, and then woke up at like 4:30 to go from L.A. to San Jose. So I slept like 2 hours and then got to go to the practice rink of the game rink, meet everybody, and then slept an hour and a half and then had to go to the game. So I was like sitting there like on like 2-3 hours of sleep, like hallucinating. I was like, this is crazy. Still felt like a dream, you know. It was pretty wild.
That's awesome. That's a cool story though. Yeah, like obviously your parents, I'm sure, were stoked. Like, did you call other, you know, other family and friends in the area? You're like, hey, I'm coming home. Like, I would imagine that for all your boys that are in the area, they're like, oh, snap, like Devin's coming back to the Bay Area.
Yeah, I had like text. I have like a group chat with like all my best friends, and I texted them and let them know that I was coming. They were all freaking out, but unfortunately, because it's so expensive to live there, no one really lives there anymore. So they all live like, you know, all over the place. We have somebody in Colorado. I do have a couple that still live in San Francisco. That they work in tech, of course. So I'm hoping to see them at some point. But still, it's like they were all fans of the team growing up as well, like just like I was. So it was pretty cool for them too.
Yeah, who was your guy growing up?
I mean, obviously Nabokov. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. But like, I think like the core guys, like you have Marlowe, Thorin, you know, those are the guys that you think of the most. Honestly, like Chichu, and then I like Setoguchi too because we had the same name.
Yeah.
but yeah. So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, man. Like that's like, everybody has the dream of becoming a professional athlete. Like, you know, like for most of us, like me, we realize that comes to an end after high school, but not only have you made that happen, now you've signed back with the organization that you grew up following. Like that must've just been a trip.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It still feels like pretty surreal. I think standing there for the home game, like during the national anthem, I was like looking around the arena and looking at all the spots like I used to sit, cause like we had family or season tickets, my family, since, you know, I was a baby. So it's pretty crazy.
That is pretty cool, man. You know, like, so all of a sudden, like you said, you're thrust into this situation, you're getting no sleep. Do you know anybody with the organization? Did you know anybody with the team? Did you have any, in hockey, everybody's paths cross at some point, but I don't know. Did you know anybody here?
Yeah, I did. I mean, Magnus Krona I played with in college.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we were actually goalie partners. And then, I spent 3 years in the Nationals organization. So Benning, I knew, Granlund, Luke Kunin. So I knew those guys, you know, kind of briefly. And then, but that's pretty much it. So I had some connections already, so that helps.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's always the weirdest thing is like, you're with an organization, you know, all these dudes and, you know, obviously you hang around them every day. So that's just, you know, that's just the group. And then one phone call and all of a sudden everything's flipped upside down. And then, you know, you're on the other side of the country. That's also another part of this. You go from one side of the country to the other side of the country. Now you're back on the other side. your sleep schedule just must be absolutely effed right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's part of the job, though, you know. I'm just trying to, like, sleep when I can and take naps when I can, and I'm starting to finally catch up. At least I think I am, but who knows?
Yeah, no, it's – yeah, right now – you got adrenaline on your side. That's really all you need.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you feel about your game right now? Like, where how do you feel about, you know, all things considered, you know, and then I'm assuming your name's going to get called here shortly. So how do you feel about things?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, I haven't had much time to really skate here yet. I've had one goalie skate and one morning skate, but both those skates went well. I felt really confident, felt really good. So hopefully get like a couple more skates here and then feel even better and be ready to go.
Yeah. And is there anything that you're looking to work on in your game right now?
Not anything specifically. Obviously just continue to improve on, you know, play reads and getting used to the speed of things here, especially. I've been working with Spears, your goalie coach, and working on a more like relaxed stance and being more upright to keep me more mobile and keep my movements cleaner.
I'm just curious, for a goalie, when you watch guys like Kapo come into the Sharks and he left a better goalie than what he was previously, or Mackenzie Blackwood, who has had, you know, just a really high level of performance since coming here. And then obviously a guy like Magnus Crona, who's been playing really, really well as of late. Does that give you confidence that the staff here is going to unlock the best in your game?
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, I only did one goalie skate with Spears, and he was already, you know, making changes back. Well, what if you tried this? And like, let's try this. And I was like, man, this is so awesome. Like, like, it's so great to like be able to learn. I'm just trying to be a sponge and, you know, learn as much as I can.
Yeah. And like, to me, like, that's the hardest thing though, is like not breaking habits, but it's like, you've done something that's worked for you. And I think that's the hardest part of improvement, is saying like, okay, we know what's worked, but we want you to change this because we think it'll work better. Because obviously there's like a muscle memory of how you're going to set up. And then somebody comes in and says, we can make you better, but you have to unlearn what you've learned and you have to, you know, create these new neuro pathways to become what we want you to be. Like, I know everybody says like, yeah, like you practice and eventually it'll become part of your routine, but I'm sure at other parts of your life, you'd had other things that worked and then new things are kind of implemented. How long does it take for you to kind of put practice into play, right? Like what you're working on the drills and day to day before you're doing it subconsciously in a game.
Yeah. It's really tough. As a goalie, there's a very fine line, because as a goalie, especially during games, you're not supposed to think at all. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you start thinking, like, it's too fast, like you're screwed, you know? So if you're learning new stuff and you go right into a game and you're like, okay, I gotta work on this new stuff, because you're subconscious or consciously thinking about it, you might end up, you know, screwing yourself.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, during the game, I'm just gonna try and, you know, completely shut my mind off, you know, whether the new stuff I'm learning sticks or not. Like, it's just about, I just gotta go play. But during practice stuff, I'm thinking about it, you know, all the time. And it helps too when the stuff that you are implementing that's new is working like right away too. So that's kind of like what happened. Like, we worked on like being more upright and having a more mobile stance, and I immediately like felt better, like noticed a difference. So hopefully, you know, that'll translate to the games, but obviously it is a little bit of a process and it can take some time depending on what you're learning.
When you are in a game, this is what I always wonder about. And I remember talking to Kapo about this, and it's funny because you said, oh, you have to not think. When I asked Kapo about this, I could see him try to process it, because he said, oh, I'm not really thinking about that. But I asked him about the tip play, because that's the hardest thing I think any goalie has to deal with, is like, you know that somebody is going to be floating around near the crease, putting their stick out. But I said, how do you read that? I said, because he's usually somebody comes slowly in from the side. And he was like, well, when you got, he's like, if somebody's got a big shot at the blue line, he's like, you're starting to prepare for it. He's like, you see them floating out there. He said, but you don't know where it's going to come from. So I'm just curious, dealing with the tip play, because that seems like, for a goalie, one of the most insane things to try to have to deal with. Because like, the puck's coming in at ridiculous speeds, and then it gets tipped and goes the other direction. Like, how do you play that? Because that, it just blows my mind when I do see a tip play and a goalie seemingly reads it and stops it.
I think the best way to do it is just to feel your body and not have there be any holes. So like, if there's a point shot and say it's like glowing to like your medium, like glove side, like right here, but there's a tip guy right here, you're better off, instead of reaching and trying to catch it, like kind of shifting your body. And so that way it hits your chest. So that way, if it gets tipped like up high or down low, it hits your body. Whereas like, if you just reach and you don't shift, if it tips low, it's going to go under your glove and it's going to go in, or it's going to go like over your glove and go in, because you can't react to it that fast. Yeah. But I think just trying to get your whole body in front of things is a big help, and trying to avoid reaching. But, you know, like sometimes like it happens so fast, like you still have to reach, or like you can't shift your body in time, or you don't read it as well. And that's when the tip goes go in. Like, it's still a challenge. It's still a really tough play for sure.
Hear more of that interview on the build-up Saturday afternoon before the Sharks take on Columbus. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock go time as the Sharks take on the Blue Jackets. All right, we're all out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.